Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. This is a new day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for these powerful, exceeding great and precious promises that you have given us of deliverance and of protection throughout the word of God. Now, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. We declare that that is the case for us today and receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, this is part two and this lesson is titled Powerful Promises. Believe for those powerful promises, or believe in those powerful promises of deliverance and protection. And yesterday we covered some promises in Exodus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, etc. Even in the book of Job, in the book of Psalms, and so on. Today, you know, I'm just making my way through the Bible, picking out some of these promises for you. I will be starting from the book of Proverbs today. Hallelujah. And we'll make it through the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, on and on, and even into the New Testament. Powerful stuff. So, let's get started. You know, here's our first one for today. Again, the replays are there. If you missed yesterday's lesson and you want to get some continuity, well, you'd have to check out the replay. But today I want to start in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 21. This is a powerful promise, you know, that God gave us, and we should always, always, you know, latch on to this promise. It's powerful. It said, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Glory to God. You know, that's a latter half of that, Proverbs 11:21. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Though hands join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So that's a powerful promise, you know, for your children and their children after them. The Lord already promised them deliverance, and that is a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. We have more promises, you know, and yesterday we were talking about how God put a lot of things in David's mouth, called forth many attributes of the Lord, you know, and so forth, and powerful, powerful ways that he describes all the things that God is to him. Well, he's not the only one. Throughout the scriptures, we see some other declarations about God. But David's own was just special. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10 tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it for safety. So, you know, that's like a place of defense, a place of munitions. Wow. You can enter in and you'll find safety. That name, in other words, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will find safety and you'll find also deliverance. Praise the Lord. You know, as many as shall call upon the name of the Lord, you know, the Bible says, you know, we'll have deliverance. What does it actually mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Does it just mean to just say Jesus? You know, everybody can say Jesus. In fact, there was a story in the book of Acts of some seven sons of Sceva that used the name Jesus. And they used the name of Jesus. But Did they get deliverance? No. In fact, the devil pounced on them and, made mockery of them and so on. But calling upon the name of the Lord to get deliverance, means that you must first of all understand, what that means. In the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 32, it says that for anyone calls upon the name of the Lord, they will have deliverance. Same thing is quoted in Romans 10 and 13. But let me read, I know I'm in the book of Proverbs, but I just want to, on this subject of the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So what led me to that? If we're going to use the name of the Lord, for deliverance, then you must understand how to use that name. It's not just chanting the name. There must be a revelation behind that name. Because the devil told them, well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? But they didn't have the revelation of the power that was in that name. And it shall come to pass, Joel 2 and 32, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, even as the Lord has said. So, to use the name of the Lord, there will be deliverance for us. We must understand the revelation that is in the power, that God has highly exalted his name, glory to God, and has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. That name is highly exalted above every name. Use it as a defense mechanism for yourself. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will honor it, because God is the one himself that exalted the name of Jesus. And so it's a highly exalted. Let it be your banner. Let it be your high tower. Let it be your fortress. Run into that name and you'll be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are many such applications of the name of Jesus. We have heard testimony. There are many people in this room themselves who have called upon the name of the Lord in their distress. The psalmist said, in my distress, I called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord heard me and delivered me, and he brought me out to a large place. Hallelujah. So, the name of the Lord will give us that confidence and that security. Isaiah 25 and verse 4. The Lord has been a strength to the poor. Glory to God. He's a strength to the needy in his distress. He's a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. And even when the blast of the terrible ones had come as a storm against the wall. Hiding inside the Lord provides protection against all the things, can bring distress. Talks about the needy in his distress. Talks about the poor that is out of strength. The name of the Lord can provide refuge from the storms, a shadow from the heat. Call upon the name of the Lord in confidence, and the Lord will deliver. Praise the Lord. It's a powerful promise. He's always a strength to the poor. When you feel famished like that, call upon the name of the Lord for strength. When you feel your soul being in distress, well, call upon the name of the Lord for strength. Praise the Lord. When there's raging storms coming up against you, call upon the name of the Lord for strength. Praise the Lord. That's what those promises mean. You call upon the name of the Lord. We've got to practice it to the point that it's second nature. He's the one we always go to first, you know, not run to your phone or run to this person or run to that person. Run to the Lord first in everything. When there is distress, when there's situation that seems overwhelming and different things like that, we must know how to turn to the Lord, turn to Him. And God has promised us, you know, that He will strengthen us. He says, strength even for the poor, strength for the weak, you know. Grace unto those that say, ah, where is my help? Well, my help is from the Lord. The book of Isaiah 41 verse 10. A powerful promise that He gave here. How He said, I will help you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. In other words, well, uphold means, well, in shaky times, instead of being rocked here and there and tossed up and down, the Lord will be your anchor, you know, hold you up against, you know, and even above the raging storm. You can pass through and you can scale through it. The Lord will be with you. The way He promised it is such a power. This one is a popular verse that most people know, but it's a powerful, powerful verse as well. You say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, this is the reason why you should not be afraid, because the Lord is with you. You know, this is the reason why you should not be discouraged, because the Lord is your God. And He said, I will strengthen you. Glory to God. I will help you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. Glory to God. They shall be as nothing. Even they that strive with thee, they shall perish. That's right. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. And even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, even as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, look at those powerful promises that, you know, said, look, everybody that colluding together or anything, people, circumstances or whatever, that collude together against you, said, they shall be ashamed and confounded. God, the Lord will be your light. That's right. So it will be as nothing, nothing at all. You know, those that strive against you, they will not be found. Lord will blow them away. You don't even need to worry about it. He will do it. Hallelujah. So when you even look for them, so one day you say, wow, you know, you don't even remember. You won't even remember that there are people striving or situations striving against you because of the victory that the Lord shall give you. It will be your glory and the lifter up of your head. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All they that war against you shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. Because I, the Lord, will hold your right hand. And I will say unto you, fear not. I will help thee. Do you know if you knew, I mean, the Lord in a personal way like that, I mean, physically, not just spiritually speaking, if you could physically see Him by your side, didn't you know that your confidence will rise? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you have like a physical bodyguard, you know, that is strong, trained in martial arts, and they have guns and shields and so forth to protect you, and you're going somewhere with them, you feel a little more confident than if you were alone by yourself. But, you know, the Lord is more than all of that. The trouble is we cannot recognize His presence. That's why we're afraid. You know, He said, fear not, for I am with you. That means when you recognize that He's with you, you will not be afraid. You know, this is the thing that blows fear away. The recognition of the presence of God, you know, blows fear away. You know that He's right there with you. Glory to God. You know, and if He's there with you to save you, who is there that can contend with you then and will win when the Lord is, you know, there to deliver you? Praise God. Fear not, for I will help thee. Fear thou not, for I am with you. And I will give you victory in every situation. I will make you even a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, and thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Make them even as all the hills as chaff. The wind will blow them away. Now, these are the difficult situations. Hills and mountains, you know, sometimes they depict difficult situations. That's why Jesus says, speak to this mountain. Difficult situations that you cannot seem to surmount. They're there to block your way, impede your passage, make sure you don't get through. That's what those hills and mountains will do. But you know, this scripture says, the Lord will give you the grace to either beat them small, you know, or make them like hills, you know, all the hills, make them like chaff, that the wind will blow them away. Praise God. You got to have this confidence. See, thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and glory in the Holy One of Israel. That's why these, you know, the book of Isaiah is so, so powerful. There's just so many lifter up messages of hope, strength, and encouragement, you know, from the Lord. Even when your mind, you know, is shaky because of situation, he says in Isaiah 26 and 3, thou, Lord, will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, if you train your mind to be directed toward the Lord rather than the situation, rather than looking at the boisterous winds, if Peter had continued to gaze upon the Lord, he would have continued to walk on the water. But when he turned his eyes from gazing on the Lord and looking around, he saw the boisterous wind, said, I can't walk on water. Then he began to sink. But if you let your mind be trained upon the Lord, focused on the Lord, that's right, he will keep you in balance. That's right. You will not sink. I'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Well, because you trust in the Lord. That's why. You know, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, when as Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3 and 5, you know, and lean not to your understanding, and the Lord will direct your paths, you know. So, the Lord will keep you in truth because you have trusted in the Lord. It will keep you in peace as well. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Glory to God. So, when we put our trust in the Lord, now this may seem like simple words, but they are powerful. You know, you just take the word of God, literally speaking. And don't let your mind tell you anything else. You know, sometimes simple words are overlooked because they are simple. There was a story of a man that was called Naaman in the Bible. He was a man that had leprosy, you know, and when he went one day to Elisha to be healed, you can read the story in 2 Kings chapter 5, because the prophet said some simple words, he went away angry. The prophet just said some simple words like, hey, you know, go and wash in this river Jordan, dip yourself 7 times, come out, you'll be clean. And the man went away furious. He said, well, I thought you would have come out here, scream, you know, shout the victory, jump up and down, call upon the name of your God, lay your hands on me, strike the leper, do all this drama, you know. And his servants had to persuade him, said, look, you know, what do you got to lose? Just because his words were simple. I mean, if he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? I said, yeah, but, you know, this Jordan, are not the rivers, you know, Samaria better than this? I mean, shouldn't I go in there and wash and be clean? He said, no. The prophet gave you the simple words. Just do them, my father. Why, you know, what you got to lose? You know, sometimes when some words are simple, we just overlook them. You know, these are simple words. Keep your mind on the Lord. And he will keep you in perfect peace. It sounds simple, but it's profound. You know, profound. You know, and the things that war against the mind, that pull you from side to side all the time. Well, sometimes it's because our minds are not focused on the Lord. You know, you've got to learn and train your mind to be focused on the Lord. And you will find out that you have more peace throughout the day, more serenity, more calmness. You'll not be tossed too much to and fro, you know, and so forth like that. In the book of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, powerful promise. I mean, this one, you got to use this all the time. And I speak of this one, not only to people, but I speak of this to myself all the time. This one here in Isaiah 43 and 2, because it's so powerful, you know, and the Lord, this is situational presence of the Lord to let you know that, look, it doesn't matter what you're going through. He's right there with you. And the key word here, two key words here are when and through. When means that, well, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The Lord, we will all pass through various things. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, not if, it's going to happen. You will be faced with situation. There's not a single person. I don't care how giant your faith is. You know, you will be faced with these things. You know, there will be situations. But here's the promise. When the situation happens, you find yourself confronted with those situations, this powerful promise will get you through. So the two key words here is when, that's one. The other one is through. Those are powerful words to consider. When means of a certainty it's going to come. It's not that we are looking for trouble, but it will come. But you must prepare your mind that when it does come, remember, the Lord will see you through. Through is perhaps the most powerful word in this whole promise. Because when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, it shall not overflow you. Well, through there, you know, indicates, as I often say, that you are coming out on the other side. Now, if the Lord has said, when you go into the waters and into the fire, well, that's a dead end. Going into is a dead end. You may not come out. But because he said, when you pass through, you know, so that's the confidence that we have. David himself said, when I pass through the shadow of the valley of death, or the valley of the shadow of death, rather, you know, I'm passing through. Why? Because I know I will get out on the other side. Now, if he said, when I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, well, that's a dead end. You may not come out. But instead, he encouraged himself by saying, I'm passing through and coming out on the other side. That's what passing through means. And do it. You know, when I encourage people on this matter, I often say, you know, when you ask people, they say, well, what's happening? I say, well, I'm going through some things right now. I say, cool. You know, that means by your own admission, with your own words, you already said you're coming out on the other side. Nobody ever said, well, I'm going into some things right now. People always say, I'm going through some things right now. Well, yeah. So, you know, you've already declared that you're coming out on the other side. Powerful. And the Lord said, look, I will be there with you all this way, every step of the way. Glory to God. And he said, look, you will not be burnt by the fire. The flame will not even light up upon you. I am the Lord. You know, the river will not overflow you. You will not be drowned. You know, I mean, it will be that almost, but it won't happen. I mean, they will be rocked back and forth. The situation may be terrible. You know, might be like a fiery furnace that you're going through, but you're coming out because he said through. And a powerful, powerful promise. You lay hold on this one every time that you are facing any situation. Just remember, coming out on the other side. Psalm 30 and verse 5 would say, though sorrow may endure for a night, joy is coming in the morning. Well, that tells me that the night cannot last forever. No matter how long the night lasts, at some point of day or the time, at some point in time, that day must break. And that's every day, every single day. God ordained it like that for us to, so that we will remember that your situation that may seem distressful right now cannot last forever. Some people say these two shall pass. Well, it will pass. Just as, you know, surely as the night passes away and the day comes at some point in time, well, even so, whatever you're going through right now, it will pass. You will come out on the other side. You got to encourage yourself with that confidence. Praise the Lord. And God using nature even to teach us. You know, we see that during the winter season in certain parts of the world, the nights are much, much longer. The days are shorter. It gets darker and gets dark very early in the afternoon sometimes in some places. And you get into the thick of the winter. You know, at 3:30 in the afternoon, it may already be dark. And the night will last for a long time. But guess what? It may last for a long time. It may last longer than usual. But the story of it is, story of nature is, God is showing us that it will not last forever. Glory to God. So that's the confidence that we have when the Lord said, you will pass through. I'll be with you. The river will not overflow you or overwhelm you, or you will not drown. The fire will not burn you. You come out. Ha. Praise the Lord. You're coming out on the other side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Powerful promises. Isaiah 44. This is the Lord standing for you. Verses 24, to 26. But I may read it even from verse 23, because it's that one also is a powerful, you know, powerful one. It says, look, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Not that the Lord's going to do it, but he has already done it. Ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, even ye mountains and so forth. Shout, O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, glorified himself in Israel. Well, all you got to do, put your name in there. Substitute your name for Jacob. Substitute your family name for Israel. Glory to God. Jacob and Israel, you know, they are blessed of the Lord. Jacob's the same as Israel, really. But when you look at him as a person, you can also look at him as a nation. As a person, it's Jacob. As a nation, he's Israel. Well, you know, put your name there and put your family clan name there as well. I often say, Jacob and David, you guys don't have exclusive on God. I always say, my God, say, yeah, my God. Well, it's my God too. Praise the Lord, you know, and if you believe the Lord, you can have the same, every single last promise in this Bible that God spoke over Jacob or Israel for you as well. You know, God had redeemed you, glorified himself in your family. Glory to God. You as an individual, as Jacob, Israel as a group, your family, all together. The Lord will do it too. The same thing. Praise the Lord. Now, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, even he that formed thee from the womb. Glory to God. Sometimes God has to remind the people about that because we forget. You know, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Why is he saying that? He said, look, when I did those things, I didn't need any help then. And I don't need any help now. That's what he's saying. I did all that by myself. Your situation is much less, you know, than for me to make the heavens and the earth. My goodness, I did all that by myself. And here's what I will do for you now. I will frustrate. Huh? Glory to God. I love this one. Frustrate the tokens of the liars. And I will make diviners to be mad. And I will turn wise men backward and make their knowledge foolish. I love this part. Now, what are tokens of the liars? Well, witchcraft, sorcery, they use tokens. Take a token from a person, carries your DNA, something you've been in contact with. They look at your photo, they look at all these things and so forth. And they try to conjure things, you know. Yeah. Lord said, look, I frustrate those things. If you are the object of that token, it will not work. Is what he's saying. You know, doesn't matter what anybody trying to do. It's not going to even work. You don't even need to stress yourself. All you got to worry about is stay in the light. If you stay in the light, darkness cannot comprehend the light. You can't overcome it. Now, if you yourself, you are shaky and you don't have a solid foundation, then of course, you know, they knock you off your feet. But, you know, if you are solid in the Lord, you know, people have tried all kinds of things against the real believer. And the believer always comes out on top. You know, I can tell you stuff, but I don't need to go into that. It doesn't bother me at all. Whatever anybody is doing, you know, doesn't even matter. I don't even dignify it at all with any time of day. Just because the Lord already said, I frustrate all the tokens of the liars and make diviners mad. I mean, people have crystal ball and different things, you know, and they try to divine. You cannot. I'm going to tell you a secret today. Now, if you surrender and submit yourself to diviners, then of course, they can divine your life. But otherwise, they can't. Here's what God, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8. Under what circumstances did he say these things? He was talking to Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews that came to asking questions by night because he didn't want to be seen. And among other things that Jesus told him, you know the story about except a man be born again, can't enter the kingdom of God and all of that. Well, among other things, Jesus told him this powerful statement, you know, which I remember when I was a young man, you know, I think maybe 19 or 20. I was at Federal School of Science at the time. It was the first time that I figured out this verse. I said, wow, you know, and then I started using it. I said, well, the wind bloweth, you know, the wind blows where nobody, you can't tell where it's going or coming. Said the wind bloweth where it listeth. See, all you hear is the sound, but you can't tell where it's going, where it's coming. Said, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. You know, no, the diviners cannot divine your life. They can't do it because you already said so. Now, if you go and submit yourself to them, of course, they'll have power over you. You know, some people even, you know, it'll be a shame if a child of God ever did that. But people of the world, they submit themselves to palm readers and different things like that. You know, believers should never even go near such things. They cannot divine your life. But if you submit yourself, then they will have all kinds of, you know, witchcraft and sorcery over you. Now, this harm that people try to read, you know what they're trying to do? Because your fingerprints are in your palms. Only the Holy Ghost can decode those fingerprints. Nobody else. You can't do it. fingerprints are not even the same for twins. All the billions of people, trillions that have made it through this earth, God computed all their fingerprints to be different. And everything is different. No, there's no two set of fingerprints that are the same. Science will tell you that. So is your life before the Lord. It's unique. There may be similarities, but can never be the same. And so people look, try to figure out those fingerprints. You can't do it. But don't you ever submit yourself to that. If you do, then they will put a cast a spell upon you. But the Lord is saying that, look, I'm the one that frustrate all their tokens. I make diviners mad. I turn wise men down foolish. Their knowledge, I make them foolish, turn them backwards. Praise the Lord, you know. And anyone I ever told you, you can't do that. Well, says who? The Lord said, I'll turn that backwards. Glory to God, you know. So this is your defense system, your defense and, you know, mechanisms against tokens of liars. In Africa and some dark places, they have a lot of tokens that they do. They put things together. I remember when I was a child. They used to warn me that, oh, you know, people put some tokens out there. When you go out in the morning and you see some tokens there, don't be the first to pass by it. The spell will come upon you. I passed by many of those things. they were useless and worthless. Didn't mean anything at all. You know, even as a child, when I didn't even understand many things, I was like, what is this nonsense? You know, let alone, once I began to understand the Lord, people have told me, well, you can't do that. Go to that place. Don't stand next to that tree. That thing is this and that. Nonsense. It's all nonsense. The Lord makes diviners mad, you know, and they frustrate all their tokens. But you better know who you are serving, you know, because this is the victory. The Lord said, that overcometh the world. Everyone that's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. See, it is your faith. Glory to God. 1 John 5:4 says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. That's what overcomes. It's not that, look, there's a lot of dark things in the world. It's not that they're not there. I'm not discountenancing those. But as far as, you know, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. The Lord said, I'll frustrate them. And this is a confidence that you yourself should have. You know, don't be saying somebody is chasing you and somebody, why should they be chasing you? Praise the Lord. You're the one that should be chasing them. Get a hold of some person that has some real faith and you chase 10,000. One person put to flight, you know, 1,000, get a hold of a real believer that has some power, and together two of you chase 10,000. You should be the one chasing devils. Nobody should be chasing you. You are flourishing in the courts of our God. You are in the house of your Father. The whole earth belongs to the Lord. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, the world and they that dwell therein. When you are in anywhere you are upon the face of the earth, it's your Father's house. Nothing should be chasing you from anywhere. Praise God. These are the promises of God unto you. Powerful things. You know, he said, look, I frustrate the tokens of the liars. You know, I make the diviners smart, I turn wise men backwards. But then I confirm the word of my servant. I watch over, you know, the word of my messengers to do it. Well, you know, let me put it to you this way. It is humbling that the Lord should say that. But because he said it, but... Yeah, I believe it, you know, so, I mean, I don't make apologies about anything God already said. He said it, and so that's it, you know, praise God. The Lord said he will confirm the word of his servant. If I be a servant of the Lord, then the Lord will confirm my word. It's just that simple. I make no apologies about that, you know. And the Lord said, look, I'll perform the counsel of my messengers. That's right. Praise God. And the Lord, you know, he has the capacity to back it up when he said it. So every time I come out here to encourage you, I know the Lord will perform it. I know the Lord will confirm it. So you be encouraged. in the name of the Lord. All these powerful promises are there to protect your mind. See, it may not sound like protection and defense at initially, but it is. You know, our minds need to be protected. God is our defense systems. You know, the mind is where the battle starts, you know, so God will protect your mind. Once you understand, you know, these powerful promises that God is giving us, praise the Lord. You know, Isaiah chapter 49, more powerful promises of deliverance, you know, for you, for your children and for everything around you. You know, yesterday I was saying that, you know, God can deliver us. We can believe that he can deliver us before we even fall into the thing. But even when you fall into the thing, he can pull you out, you know. But I love to believe that God can deliver me without me having to fall in the thing. And he can deliver you from it already. But even when you get into the problem, could be even an error of your own making. Sometimes people make bad choices. And I say this. You know, most people are one bad decision away from disaster. One bad decision. You know, so everything is going good. You see a lot of homeless people today. They're not crazy. You know, one bad decision that they make or made, you know, maybe they overspent, overextended themselves. Bought more house than they can afford, bought more car than they can afford, or whatever. And then they lose their job. And the next thing you know, out on the street. It's not because they are crazy. You know, I used to think that, you know, crazy, I mean, someone will be homeless means they're crazy. When I grew up in my country, the only homeless people back then, it's not necessarily the case now, but the only homeless people back then were crazy people. They were really mentally deranged because, you know, there was always some cousin, some auntie, some grandmother, some friend, some brother, some sister that you could live with. I mean, people just weren't homeless. So when I came into this country, I looked down narrowly upon homeless people at first. That was many years ago, until I found out the true story. Not every person that's out there homeless is crazy. Some of them, just one bad decision that they made. And the next thing you know, well, a lot of things come spiraling down. Well, here's what the Lord said in Isaiah 49, verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty and the lawful captive delivered? Now, lawful means you stuck your head in there. It was of your own doing. You know, you took on more than you could really, I mean, you didn't even understand. Maybe you didn't even look at the fine print. You signed it anyway. And now you're indebted in so much, all these payments and stuff, you know. And I remember some years ago, I came in here. I was under the ministry of one Neil Frisby. Many of you know him. And he was always warning us, stay out of debt. Some people listened. Some people didn't listen. I listened. Glory to God. You know, and he said it many times. And I remember a friend of mine, together we were counting the times that he turned and talked specifically to Nigerians, because he loved the Nigerians, because he knew many of us came from so far away, you know, to attend and listen to his ministry and his words. And at one time we counted about 7 or 8 times I spoke point blank to Nigerians. And he would say things like, don't come to this country and become Americanized. You know, say, get away, stay away from the debt system. People didn't listen. Well, I listened. And I tried to stay away from those things. That's helped me. And till this day, by the grace of God, I'm debt free because I listened. But, you know, hey, no matter how you got yourself in there, well, God can still pull you out. You know, lawful captive. You know, you sold yourself for naught. You say, why are my people sold themselves for naught? You know, why do you spend money on water which is not bread? You know, sell yourself for naught and so on. You know, financial wisdom and financial prudence. Someday I will deal with that. But people get into all kinds of things. It doesn't matter how you got in there. You know, the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. This scripture is so powerful. Glory to God. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Well, how do you get the prey out of the mouth of the lion? God said, I can do it. And he did it with David. And he said, look, I'll do it for you too. And I will contend. These are powerful promises. With them that contend with you. And I will save thy children. Point blank. You know, now, if you have any unsaved children, take this thing literally speaking. Literally. Now, save also means that we deliver them out of all their troubles, even the troubles they got into, you know, financial mess or whatever. I'll save them. When we call him Savior, we call him by his name. Can save you from your sins, can save you from your distresses, can save you from your mistakes, can save. Save can be anything. Take this literally. I will save thy children. Glory to God. And I take it literally. You know, for my children and their children after them. You take it literally. You know, and I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh. Shall be drunken with their own blood. You know, even as sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, thy Savior. Now, I want everybody to start calling Jesus Savior. You know, and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of, you know, the more you call him Savior, Matthew 1:29 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus or Yeshua. Because he will save his people, in this case, from their sins. Well, the Lord, our salvation is what Joshua means, or Yeshua, or Jesus, you know, and that's his name. He will save you from all your distresses. David, I called upon the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles and all our distresses. The Lord will save you. Now, if we use prudence, as I was saying yesterday, you use prudence, you can avoid many pitfalls. Sound judgment and discretion. You know, the Lord can cause you with sound judgment and discretion to avoid many pitfalls. But most of the time, you can't avoid them all. You know, sometimes you're going to fall into something, you know, and, but even when you do, even if you're lawfully into that problem, that's what it means by lawful captive, sold yourself for naught or whatever, you fell into it because of foolishness or lack of wisdom or whatever, your cry unto the Lord, he will still pull you out. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he pulled me out of the sinking sand, the miry clay or quicksand, and so forth. Pulled you out of it. The prudent man, though, foreseeth the evil. Now, I want to pray always, you know, for you and everybody and myself, my children, that we will use prudence in the first place and avoid many pitfalls. If we use prudence and use wisdom, can avoid a lot of problems. Now, if you have faith, faith will pull you out of any situation that you find yourself in. You know, but wisdom, I mean, if you fall into a ditch and you cry unto the Lord and you have faith in the power of God to deliver, he will deliver you. There's no questions about that. However, you will suffer hurt. Now, if you use wisdom and prudence in the first place, you might have avoided falling into that ditch and save yourself a lot of hurt. But either way, whether in protecting you or delivering you out of it, God is your savior. Now, you should always believe when you go out that the Lord is able to keep you from accident and pray, you know, and deliver, you know, your soul like that. You know, don't use your words to bring negative things upon yourself. Some people use, I gave you a scripture yesterday, Job 3 and 25. I said, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Many people use their words to bring evil upon themselves. The devil capitalize upon that. Don't you ever say those negative things. You always say positively, and God will deliver you. He will deliver you too. And he's able to. So this scripture is very powerful. Contend with those that even contend with you, and I will save thy children. Isn't that beautiful? I'm talking about saving your children. Praise the Lord. Well, actually, you know, if you have, spiritually speaking now, physically, God will save them from their troubles and distresses, whether financially or whatever. He will do it too. But also, if you have unsaved children, well, we need to believe God, you know, because God is able to save them too, you know, and your children will be saved. The Lord said that, you know, that he will save them. Bring them out from the land of the enemy like that. You know, thy children shall all be taught of the Lord. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know, the Lord is the one that is able to do these things. And I will get to some more scriptures. I'm getting ahead of myself here, of where the Lord's promise that he will save even your children, wherever they are, you know, they will come from the different problems that they are in. You know, they will come from the land of the enemy. God will bring them. He's able to save them, you know, because of the promises that God has given, and they will return, you know, onto their own borders. We'll come to that in a minute. The Lord has given us promises. None of us, Jesus himself said, all that the Father has given me, you know, I have kept, and I've lost none of them. So we also believe, and we should believe, that none of your children will ever be lost. God will save them all. In fact, let me just jump ahead and read it right now. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. Powerful verses that go with what we are talking about here. It says, refrain thy voice from weeping. I mean, many parents, they cry because, you know, the well-being and welfare of their children, and because those children are not, you know, following exactly the way of righteousness. And we should cry, you know, but the Lord, he gave a promise here. You know, he said, enough of the tears. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears. Thy walk over these children shall be rewarded. You've labored over them. Proverbs 22 and 6 say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's grown, he will not depart from it. Well, you did all you could, but it looks like they did depart. Even though the Lord said they will not depart. But it looked like they departed anyway. Well, here is the one that you got to stay right here with it. He said, thy work shall be rewarded, you know, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. That's right. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children, so that way you know he's talking point blank about children, that children shall come again to their own border from the land of the enemy, the place where they were brought up, the house of the Lord and everything. They're coming back. This promise point blank says it. And you stay with it, your children will be delivered from the hand of the enemy and from the land of the enemy. And they're coming back. It's a powerful promises, you know, that we can latch onto. Praise the Lord. Well, let me read a few more here. Isaiah chapter 50. This is your own, you know, statement of faith, you know, your own declaration of faith. And I gave this as a memory verse a couple years ago. And from time to time, I've reminded people of it here. Powerful. Because of what God told him in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Well, because of what God already told him, then he's going to make his own declaration here based on what God already told him. And he said, and many of you will remember this because it was a memory verse more than once on this platform. He said, well, you know, but the Lord God will help me. Well, because the Lord already said, I will help you. Now, you got to listen when the Lord tells you something and you take it to your advantage. The Lord told Moses, I know thee by name. Moses came back and said, well, you have said you know me by name. Therefore, you know, such and such. And you listen when the Lord tells you something, you know, and you latch onto it. Say, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, will I not be confounded? Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Well, the Lord will help you in every situation, no matter what you're going through. That's a powerful, powerful verse. Behold, the Lord God will help me. He said in verse 9, who is it that shall condemn me? They will wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. The Lord is the one. Let my adversary come near me. Let him come near, he said. Now, you choose your own arena. Praise God. Don't go into the devil's camp. You know, you stand right here in the word of the Lord, the promise of God, around, you know, with the blood of Jesus. Let the devil come if he can. He can't cross our bloodline. You know, you choose the terms. You say, let him come near me. You stand right here. I'm right here. You want some of this? You know, I'm right here. Praise God. You're not afraid of the devil. Why should you be afraid? He said, look, let my adversary, who is he? Let him come near me. Let us stand together. But I'm standing right here. You want to fight me? I'm choosing the arena and I'm choosing the ring where we fight. Not you. No, I'm staying right here. I'm surrounding myself with grace and help and helpers and so forth. Stay in the right place. You know, don't go into the camp of the enemy. You will be weakened, you know, if you go to the ark of the enemy to fight them. You stay in the camp of the Lord. Let him come to me. You don't go to them. You come to me. You know, now that's different, you know, when we are out there witnessing and so forth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about personal battles now. Your personal battle space. You pick the arena. Let the devil, you know, tell you anything. Stay right here. I'm right here. I'm standing word of God. I'm not moving. I'm not giving an inch. Let him come near me. You know, if you can. You can't do it too. You can't cross that bloodline. Surround yourself with the name of the Lord as with a shield. Glory to God. And your banner over yourself. Make his name your banner. Call upon his name. Run into his name. You know, he's a strong tower for you. You know, and here is what the Lord promised you in verse 10 of Isaiah 50. Sometimes we are doing all we can and it seems like, well, the light is still not shining for us. You still see like you're sitting in darkness. I mean, we say, look, you know, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, and the Lord will come through for you. Well, sometimes you serve the Lord, you do all you can, but it doesn't look like it's coming through for you. Well, what should you do then? Well, the answer is right here in Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is it among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant? And yet, seems like he's in darkness and has no light. What should he do then? Well, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stay right there with the Lord. and stay upon your God. That's right. You know, this is a decision that we must make right off the bat. You got to be sold out. You know, Job finally said, well, though he slay me, I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going anywhere. You stay upon your God. You trust in the name of the Lord. You say, well, I've been trusting. Well, trust some more. I've been waiting. Then wait some more. He will come. Our God will come and he will save you. He's always the savior. He will save the day. Now, his timing may be different, you know, than, you know, what we're expecting. That's why we need to build up, you know, spiritual capacity through the little things that we, you know, endure and face every day. You're building up capacity. You know, Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 5 says, you know, if you contend with footmen, you run against footmen and you lose. How are you going to be able to contend with horses? You can't do it. I mean, footmen and you are footmen, you're on the same level and you still lose. Then how can you contend against horses? Even the land of peace, you know, when you have these little problems, you know, you are weary of little problems. What are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? That's what Jeremiah 12:5 means. You know, so every day we must win. Win every battle. Climb every mountain. Glory to God. Come out on top in the name of the Lord. And if you get knocked down, well, don't stay down for the count. Get up again. You know, because these things are how you build resilience. That's how you build capacity for even greater things. You stay right there and you remind yourself of what the Lord has done in the past. You say, well, I know there was a situation like this sometime back. It looked as if he wasn't coming through, but he came through. You remind yourself. People often quickly forget, but remind yourself, the Lord will be with you. Praise the Lord. Let me read a few more in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and I'll leave it for today. Tomorrow I'll do powerful New Testament promises. Here's one in Isaiah chapter 54. This whole chapter, powerful. You know, it talks about so many things that the Lord offers us for defense. And many other promises that go even along with that. It's powerful, this Isaiah 54. You should read it from time to time. You know, it's a lot of things in there. You know, here's what it says. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. I love this one too. Powerful. Enlarge the place of your tent. Got to give you a strategy on how to do that. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Why? Because you are going to break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Glory to God. Neither will thou be confounded. Don't be confounded, because you will not be put to shame. You know, the book of Joel talks about this also many times, that my people shall not be ashamed. You know, you will not be put to shame. You will not even remember the shame of thy youth anymore. Widowhood and all that. For my thy husband, thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer. Even the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. You know, that the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieving spirit. As a wife that I was refused, but he has changed your name to Hephzibah and Beulah. That's right. It was this same Isaiah that said those things. See, for a small moment, it looks like, you know, you are in difficulties. It looks like even the Lord hid his face. But he said, with everlasting kindness, will I have mercy upon you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not confounded, I will lay thy stones. The Lord will begin to bring comfort. Comfort to you. And don't forget verse 10 of this Isaiah 54. Powerful stuff. Take that with you every day. See, the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall never depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace. Now, this is a defense mechanism, defense systems. In a time when your mind will be shaken, your peace might be tried to take away from you. The devil tried to take your peace away from you. But Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth. You know, but my peace I leave with you. And be not troubled. The devil will trouble your mind. Things around you will trouble your mind. Well, remember, my kindness shall never depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, said the Lord that had mercy upon thee. Powerful promise. It's a defense system too. It will protect your mind in the times of distress. When you know that the Lord said, my kindness, God will come through for you. His timing may not be the same as yours, but his timing is never off. You know, we may not understand what he's doing. It seems to us that like the timing is off, but no. He might even delay, but it will be for greater glory. You know, one time they sent a message to Jesus. He said, the man whom you love is sick. But Jesus, you know, used to visit Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were kind of close to them. So they thought they had access to him because of that. Brother is sick, you know. We know you care about him. So would you come and heal him? And Jesus didn't even answer them a word. But he stayed in the same place that he was a few more days until the situation got from bad to worse, and then the worst happened. The man died. But the whole time Jesus was telling his disciples that were with him, he was several miles away. He said, well, this sickness is not unto death. But the man died. You know, and I said to myself, I said, well, if the Lord said the sickness is not unto death, and yet the man died, but the word of the Lord cannot be broken. Therefore, it means that the Lord will reverse that death and make it to where, like, as if the man never died. Because that's what he said. And that's exactly what he did. The man actually did die. Jesus actually waited for that to happen so that he could show the disciples that he can call somebody out of the grave no matter how many days they've been in there. So I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Now let's go unto him. Let's go wake him up. And, you know, when he came 4 days later, I was like, now you show up. When we were sick, we called upon you, but you didn't answer. Now he's dead. Now you show up. And Jesus said, well, don't worry about it. If thou canst only believe, you know, even though he's in the grave, he will live again. She didn't understand that. But he did live again. Jesus called him out of that grave. Praise the Lord. You know, so his timing may look like he's delayed, but I guarantee you, he may look late, but he's always on time. Praise God. Always on time. And for the glory of God. You know, and one of the other more difficult stories in the Bible to understand is the one in John chapter 9. For 40 years, the man was blind. And they asked Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it his parents or even he himself? Why was he born blind? You know, and Jesus said, you know, one of the most difficult things to digest in that Bible. I understand it now, but it was very, very difficult, you know, some time back for me to understand it. And he said, well, he said, neither this man's sin nor yet his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. I'm like, wow. The works of God to make manifest in this man? He had to be blind for 40 years? Well, that's a part that was difficult. But, you know, all those 40 years that the man was blind was as if, you know, I mean, they tried everything. They gave up. They just accepted the situation and just went. The man just went blind. You know, say, well, it is what it is. Maybe it's my cross to carry and so on. You know, but one day, oh, my goodness, one day, all of that changed. You know, and when we are going through that situation where it seems as if there is no answer from God, It looks as if, you know, his faithfulness that we say his faithfulness is forever. It seems as if, you know, you doubt that faithfulness. Can God really come through? Because he hasn't come through. I've been in this situation for a long time. But he knows what he's doing, you know. And one day, glory to God, you know, the power of God hit that man, Jesus. And the next thing you know, tremendous glory came to the name of the Lord. So we never know. But I believe that the Lord, he will not tarry. That's the prayer that we pray. Lord, tarry not, because long hope wearies the heart. You know, so I argue with the Lord. I say, Lord, don't tarry. You know, come through for your children quickly. And Lord said, well, you know, your ways are not my ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. I say, Lord, teach me thy way, Lord, that I may know, you know. But God will come through for you. Praise the Lord. You know, so today we've been talking about more of God's promises. You can read all of that, you know, chapter 54 of Isaiah. Here's another one, powerful, powerful, in that same chapter. Before you get out of it, you know, read down to the end and see, you know, from verse 17, you know, read it and see what it says. You know, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. You talk about promises of protection. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. Glory to God. Now, even verse 15 tells you, the people that gather together, said they gather against you, but not by me, and they gather, they shall fall. You know, it's how God protects you. Look, don't worry about their gathering. All peeping and muttering spirits that gather together against you. You know, the Lord would scatter them, he said. They will fall for your sake. So you should read all of this. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of the Lord. Even in this verse, it talks about, in this text, it talks about all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression and from terror. You will not fear, because the terror will not come near thee. I mean, powerful promises. You should read every one of them. Fine, let me read that through from top to bottom. O thou afflicted, from verse 11 to 17, or through the end of that verse. O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest, not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of our gates and thy gates of carbuncles and thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and you'll be far from terror, because it will not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together. So, just because they gather together, that should not cause your heart to fear. They shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. And that's also for Israel. Many nations will gather together against Israel. Even at the end, they shall fall. You know, it's point blank. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. People love this one. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Powerful. Powerful verses. You know, let me read a couple of things in Isaiah 62. I'm going to call it a day for today. We'll continue by God's grace, perhaps tomorrow. Isaiah 62. There's some more things I want to read. But let me just skip ahead. Maybe I'll come back and read them tomorrow. But here's a really good one in Isaiah 62. It talks about what God promised you. It will protect your labor and will not allow, you know, your labor to be devoured like that. Now, this same Isaiah 62, this is the place where God promised he would change your story. Glory to God. The people who have been forsaken, the Lord said, I'll change your story and you will be called Hephzibah. You know, say, well, I can't be married and so forth. I'll change your story. You'll be called Beulah. So it's the same chapter where he said that. And furthermore, he said that I will defend you, defend even the work of your hands. The Lord said he would defend it. Isaiah 62 and verse 8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. Sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. God will protect the work of your hands. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. More to come on promises tomorrow for defense and protection. Let me leave it there. I'll pick up a few more promises from Isaiah tomorrow, and then I'll read some stuff from Jeremiah and down through, hopefully go through the New Testament. But there's so much, so much more. I'm going to pray here and leave it there. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful, incredible, powerful promises. He said, by this we might become partakers of the divine nature. We know how God will stand with us through all of these things we have read. Let there be faith arising in the hearts of your people, even through these promises, in the name of Jesus. For faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Now, bless your people, Lord, with confidence in their hearts to know what you have promised. And as we see these promises through the eye of faith, let us align our hearts with the word of God and these promises, so that we may get the full realization in our lives. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.